For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
To receive from you as we turn into your word and look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Our Full Redemption in Christ. So let's look at a few passages. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, what we will find is that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. What does that mean? So the law of God is God's standard. God has standards. God has standards. And the question is, are people doing what God wants? Are they matching up to Him in thought and action? So God has a law. It's the written out set of standards. And that law has been made known to us. And you know that law says, cursed is every man who continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Do you know that? You're cursed if you don't do every last thing that's written in God's law, if you don't meet up with one of His standards. You know, a person can say, I'm a pretty good person, but I don't, you know, I match up with all these things. I don't do anything wrong. But if you do one little tiny thing wrong, you are a law violator. So that's the law of God. And the fact is, no one can keep the law of God. That means that everyone is guilty before God the judge, because there's something in your life that's not right. That's the fact. And what we find in the law is that God, on that assumption, knowing that no one could keep His law, brought in this system called yearly atonement. And yearly atonement says, all right, you're going to fail, and because you're going to fail, you have to suffer my penalty. But instead of you suffering the penalty, you can substitute for someone else to take it. In this case, an animal. So each year, year by year, the blood of animals was put as a substitute. So what does that tell us? If you violate God's rules, you're as good as dead. Your death is required, i.e. your blood is required. You know, cut you down, you're dead. If you violate God's laws, you can't be with God, so you have to go to a place where people that are against God and outside of God exist. That's called hell. Well, do you think the God of love really wants people to be away from Him? Well, obviously the God of love wants to provide a way to cover over this problem, and that's why Moses had the law. That law was set in place to help the people to excuse the sins and to have them be right before God according to keeping these sets of rules. And so they did these rituals and ceremonies to be right before God. They are called the works of the law as far as ritual atonement. So every year they would sacrifice this special animal, and all these things were going on, and no one was really right before God just because of animal sacrifice, because every year people would do wrong things again all the time. Why? Why did people do wrong things? It's because really within them, they weren't changed on the inside. People could do things like, all right, I'm going to think about God's words, I'm going to try to do better. But as try as you might, you really aren't a changed person. You could do a lot of good things, you could improve yourself, you could think about God's words, you could try to obey them, you could make sure you didn't commit adultery and didn't steal. You could try to control your actions and you could get pretty good at it, but you could never actually be fully perfect. That's the problem. It's just an ongoing treadmill, an ongoing cycle of trying to do good. Oh, well, you're going to slip up, have to have another animal sacrifice, and on we go. Well, it tells us here in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. So Jesus Christ became that animal sacrifice for us, that lamb that was slain for us. And redeemed us means God's angry against sin and requires your life. He requires your blood. You're going to hell. Well, redeemed you means a price has been paid so you don't have to suffer that consequence of sin. But you know something else as part of redemption? It's not just that he has paid that price, because redeemed is a financial term. It means to buy or purchase or to buy you back, to purchase you. It's not just that he's purchased you like, all right, you're not going to suffer the consequence of sin anymore. It also means, and we know this because Jesus rose from the dead to give us life, it also means there's power as part of this, that you'll live a life that is not violating the law of God. So being bought back isn't just a big band-aid solution like, all right, you can sin now and get away with it. No, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, meaning he's actually dealt with the thing that was making you break the law of God by changing the inside of you, by having you become a born-again person. And as we choose him, choose the salvation of God, there's a change that happens on the inside of us and we become new creatures, changed. So that's part of that redemption, that price that's paid. Not only are we not to suffer the consequence of sin, but we are able to live a life of righteousness. So we are bought, purchased. And because of that, we should live like we're purchased people. All right, I've been bought and owned by God now. Therefore, my life doesn't belong to me anymore to live after my old ways, but to live after his ways. So Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Well, Jesus hung on a cross and was made the curse in your place and dealt with that curse. Now, there's a solution that comes as part of redemption, that redeeming process, that buying back process, that resurrection power of Christ in you, that transformation that happens in you, that you're born again, your spirit is transformed, you're connected to God, you're now a child of God, if you believe. Verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So it's not just paying the price for you of sin and your consequential going to hell. That's not the whole of salvation. That's only half of it. He's paying the penalty, but the other half is he's making you right, and the consequence of being right is you're in a state of good things happen if you do the word of God, if you're living the way of God. The blessing of Abraham comes on you, and it comes available for all people because Jesus paid this redemption price for anyone, everyone, and the only way to activate it is you believe it. So it's available for anyone because it says it comes on the Gentiles. So anyone, some poor person in a faraway country, that blessing's been made available for them. It's purchased them. Jesus died for them. He died for the sins of the whole world. The redemption, that power to purchase, is a power of purchasing for every person, possibly. And so if that's the possibility and you are a person that responds to that and say, yes, I received that, that's for me, then you're a purchased person too. You're not so bad that he couldn't afford to bring you into redemption. Well, you're not so insignificant that he doesn't care about you. He does. He cares for sparrows. He definitely cares for human beings, even you. So this is the truth, that the power of Christ, of his redemption and buying back humanity is there for everyone and obviously going to be activated if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth and say, I receive that redemption, I receive Jesus Christ my Saviour, I receive God, is now my Father. A heart transformation happens in you and you live a new life. That's very powerful. That's an overview of the gospel. And the good things that come out of that are, doesn't just affect, oh, I'm a good person now to do good things. It affects who you are, what you do. So that redemption power can affect into your health, into your body. It can affect into your money, into your finances. It affects, of course, very much into your mind and thoughts. And that's very important. It affects your intelligence. It affects everything. You become a different and better person in every respect. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll look at verse 18 to 21. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 to 21. It says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed, purchased with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. This is a very powerful passage, and verse 21 says, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. So redemption goes all the way to you receiving glory. That's manifest showing of the presence of God in who you are and in your life and God's goodness and who he is. That's often manifested in things like riches. It's manifested in power, in what people perceive of majesty. When you see the description of the throne of God in heaven and what it's like, and you have like thunderous sounds and smoke and all these throng of people and all this goodness and everything, that's a manifestation of God's glory. And glory can manifest here on earth. And that's what we're destined for, and that's what we are connected to now. Because if the purchase has been made, that's yours already now. It's good as yours. And this is a very important concept, because the whole thing we're talking about is a legal contract. It's a legal construct. It uses financial language, and it tells us, if you're bought, and this then is about you belong to God, but also the things of God belong to you. So it's not like God has all these wonderful things, but somehow you're not eligible to get them. No, you are. You're like the God credit card company that rings you up and says that you now are able to get this credit. That's what it's like. The God credit card company is saying to you, these blessings are now available for you. All you have to do is, you know, sign up. Well, sign me up. Let's sign up. Yes, I want the healing benefits scheme, thank you. I want the financial benefits scheme. All right, well, this is what you have to do. Just believe this, do this. That's all for you right now. You're eligible. You're on the list. If you're redeemed, it's all for you. We're all platinum class members. Now, there's no one in the body of Christ, oh, you know, you're just wood class members, sorry, you only got basic benefits. No, we're all in the gold and platinum class. We get all the good things. All of the great things of redemption are for us. And you can see there that it's not physical gold that's going to buy your redemption, and it didn't buy it, but it was the precious blood of Jesus, which means all the things that are of God are for you because of that purchase That's a secure purchase, more secure than any, you know, 32-bit, security code or something like that. The blood of Christ is an eternal thing, connected you forever. It's uncrackable, it's unbreakable, it's irrevocable. The blood of Christ is an eternal blood, the blood of God itself. That's what's holding you to be in the family of God. You're a blood relative, and that's what's bringing you into all these benefits and blessings. Let's look at Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 26. Now, if you're not a born-again person, if you really aren't born again, then this is the opportunity to get born again. And if you are born again, this is the opportunity to come up in what's available for you as a child of God, as an inheritor of Abraham's blessing. Romans chapter 3, starting from verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Okay, that's a fact. No one didn't sin. So all have sinned. Now, we know one person didn't sin, of course, that's Jesus Christ. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption," so redemption means the redeeming, you know, redemption. Redemption describes the redeeming, or to redeem, redemption, same, that's the same concept there. "Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." Now, that verse there, verse 25, is telling us that God has sent Jesus, or set Jesus, to be a propitiation, that is, a payment to appease the wrath of God that is invoked by sin. So God's angry against sin, but he's not going to be angry with you because he's got this propitiator, which is Jesus, someone that appeases his wrath, pays the price. Okay, you're not having to pay the penalty anymore because someone paid it for you. That's Jesus. Now, you are able to connect to that because you have faith in his blood. So your faith connects to the payment that's been made. So the payment is like currency, you know, blood payment. It's available, but you connect to it by your faith. So faith is saying, "I believe it, it's actually mine, it was paid for me when Jesus died about 2,000 years ago. He did that for me." That's your faith. When he rose from the dead 2,000 or so years ago, he rose for me. You've got faith in the resurrection power of Jesus. And you should be believing, well, resurrection over sin, over death, is resurrection over all the things that lead to death. Sins, fears, torments, whatever. That means resurrection power is power over poverty, because poverty leads to death. Over sickness, because sickness leads to death. They're all cursed under the law. But what are all the blessings of Abraham? Well, Abraham was very rich. It was healing because Sarah was able to have a child when she couldn't. All kinds of blessings. Okay. So God has provided this wonderful redemption. Verse 26, "To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." So that's a wonderful statement. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7. It says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." So his grace, his favour, it's so big and bountiful towards us. He's redeemed us, he's bought us, he's paid the price. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. That says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So it's power to take you out of Satan's grip, deliverance from devils into God's domain. That's pretty good. It's very good. As someone said to me recently, days of heaven on the earth. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. Hebrews 9:15. In Hebrews 9:15 it tells us, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So we're in a New Testament. New Testament is the new written will of God. That new written will of God starts with the book of Matthew and goes to the book of Revelation. That's the New Testament. The written will of God. And in the new written will of God, it tells us we have an eternal inheritance. Okay, eternal means all time. And since we're existing in time right now, therefore, inheritance must already be ours now. So you don't have to die and wait till you go to heaven for you to receive, oh, I can have good things from God. No, if it's eternal inheritance, then inheritance is already yours today. That's already available to you. And what happens is you grow in understanding and in proficiency, because the body of Christ should be growing to be able to begin to claim these things now in this time, until the time when there needs to be a victory over death itself, which Jesus Christ brings at the translation of the saints. So between now and when Jesus comes to bring the victory over death itself, there's a lot of things that can be obtained. That means financial prosperity can be obtained today, healings from all kinds of ailments, pains, distresses, deliverance from terror, deliverance from, you know, evil thoughts, deliverance from all kinds of things, power to resist temptation, power against devils, all of these things manifesting glorious things of God, angelic manifestation or help in your life, ministering for you. These things are your inheritance, accessible today, not just deferred, oh well, one day when Jesus reigns on earth, one day when we go to heaven to be with him and we see him in the air and we're glorified with him, then it'll all be good, then my teeth will be good, or then my crooked back will be fine, or then my financial situation will be good. Well, why wait? Why wait? If it's as good then it is as good now. Do you know what that's called? It's called faith. If you believe that you're going to be in a perfect condition then, manifestation can already happen now in this time. How do you know that? Because Jesus was telling people under the Old Testament, you can be healed, daughter of Abraham. Oh, you demoniac over there, I can get rid of that devil. That was under the Old Testament. And Paul said that if that was glorious, how much more glorious, I'm just paraphrasing obviously, is what we can see to manifest under this New Testament. Well, the New Testament is already now, it's already in force. It's already written down for you, and Jesus already died, so it's already ratified, it's already connected to you. Jesus shed his blood already. You believed already. You already got born again in the past from today backwards. Therefore, all these blessings are available now for you. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6:20. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. longing to God. So when does that happen? Did it say when you die and go to heaven, or when Jesus comes and you're caught up in the air, then glorify God in your body and in your spirit? No, it's saying the manifestation of all these power, all these attributes, is already now. Can be for you right now. Miracles breaking through, blessings working through you, all now. Gifts of the Spirit to walk in, all now. Deliverances, bondages broken today. You know, a lot of people are got a lot of things, they have a lot of things that really we can see could be broken very quickly, speedily broken. Why wait? Why think they're, oh, it's so hard to get all these things fixed up? No, God is a God that does what's called a quick work. Quick work. You know, the preacher can snap his fingers or clap his hands and blessing manifests in people's lives as they have faith instantly to receive that and to see God is doing a work right now, today, because Jesus already paid the price. So we're not waiting for him to pay a price. He's done it. It's for you today. So you believe that today. You confess it's yours today. We all know 3 John and verse 2. And it says, beloved, we can have a look at it. 3 John, verse 2. Third epistle of John, verse 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. When's that? It says that you shall prosper in the future, shall be in health in the future, or is he talking about right now? His desire is you mayest is right now. Mayest means presently, obtainable. Prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospereth presently, right now, even as your mind is renewed today, right now. As the Bible said, today is the day of salvation. Right now, call on the name of the Lord. If you confess, when is that? Right now. Believe in your heart, when's that? Right now. Don't delay, don't defer. It's a connection you have to the Spirit of God that you can obtain right now, plug in right now. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. Romans 8:23 says, and not only, well, actually, I'll read verse 22. It says, for we know that the whole creation, that's the present fallen world around us, the planet Earth, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Because you see decay and you see corruption at work in nature even. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. And notice that word first fruits, because first fruits is the first fruits of a payment made or of a seed planted. And those first fruits are because we are redeemed. So redemption happened and people already could start activating their redemption promises, like first fruits or first obtainings of inheritance. First fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, this is telling us something we have to understand, that there is a progress and a process between the time when Jesus died till the time he's coming back again, and there is a progress and a progress in your life from the time you're born again to the end of your life. And what is that process and progress? It's a work of renewal, of strengthening, and of development, both you as an individual and also the body of Christ as a whole. You as an individual from when you were born again, and the body of Christ from when Jesus paid that price, rose from the dead, day of Pentecost happened, till he come back again What's he coming back for? A victorious church. Can you see that these things are for now, for today? And you can grow in these things and come to greater levels today because the redemption has already been paid for. Now, there's a full completion of redemption, which is called the redemption of our body, which means the victory of Jesus over death at the translation of the saints. That's the full end. So you might have got to 56%, or made a lot of progress, but there's still things, and then Jesus is there in the sky and you're with him in the clouds and you just went to 100, ding, and that's glorification of your physical body to full perfection. As he is, so shall we be, because we'll see him as he is. So that's what it's talking about. But you don't want to be like, oh, I'm living on the 0 to 1% Christian life today, suffering for Jesus. I don't know why you would be suffering under all these cursed things, but anyway, living a life like that and then think that somehow that's a holy and good thing. Doesn't even make sense. Why let devils trample over you, hold you in bondage and fear, keep you in horrible torments and so on? That's not what a child of God deserves. That's not what Abraham had. That's not what Jesus said was for children of Abraham in the time when he ministered in synagogues, when he was walking around in Galilee and so forth. Well, if that's the case then today we shouldn't be under the hands of devils of torments and sicknesses and poverties and undeliverances and things like that. No, we should be delivered, healed, rich, and thoroughly blessed, and doing good, like Jesus went about doing good. Why? Because you're a born again redeemed person, and that redemption actually is having an effect in your life, and it's starting to affect others around you. It's starting to push back against the darkness in your cultural surrounds, in your milieu, in your cultural purview. It's starting to push back against the fake news, lies, devils and deceptions and spirit of Antichrist that's thriving around the place. Oh, it can't thrive so much anymore because people are believing God and the power of Jesus is at work. And suddenly, you know, the power of devils is being short-circuited and being thwarted because believers are rising up and knowing that they're redeemed people. Redemption is yours. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14. We're coming towards the conclusion very quickly. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14 says, which, talking about the Holy Ghost, say, do you have the Holy Ghost today? Is he here? Yes. Which, the Holy Ghost, is the earnest. Earnest means the prepayment you get of our inheritance. That's the early part of the inheritance you get today. Until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So if the Holy Ghost is already here for you to get parts of your redemption right now, and all these things we're talking about, pretty good. It's much better to be living in 25% redemption than 0% redemption. Now the reality is, 25% is like way up and godlike compared to the way most people are living their lives on earth today. So if you but make with small seeds of faith these steps to believe just these things, it is to the praise of God's glory, isn't it? A few deliverances, a few healings, your lives improved and you being a blessing to others surely is a good thing. Now, I'm not saying we should aim for minimum, but minimum already is better than nunimum. There's a new word for you. It's already better to be receiving some healing touch from God than to have nothing whatsoever. As you receive these things, you should be saying, actually, let's go to the full level. You know, there's 30-fold Christianity. That's pretty good. There's 60-fold Christianity. That's very good. But really what we should aim for is to say, let's really do what God actually really wants us to do and be very profitable servants and aim for that 100-fold Christianity. That's what he really wants. That's his will. Now, if that's his will, then there's lots of things that he actually wants us to walk in and get a hold of. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Ephesians 4:30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't reject him, don't resist him. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Sealed means legally you're owned by God and kept and preserved to the day of redemption. So obviously there is the thing that Jesus already has done, but there's also the thing that will happen at the end when Jesus comes back. So what Jesus has already done is made the legal transaction. And what happens today is this progress through history and your life, your little part of your life that is the part of history. That's all progress. And who's there but the Holy Ghost? And one day when Jesus returns, it's like, right, we bring it to a close. Everyone now gets the full level. Well, we don't want to be people, as I say, that are waiting for Jesus to come. I'm just waiting for Jesus, but I'll do nothing today and receive nothing today. But Jesus is coming. That's a very defeatist kind of approach. Why wait for Jesus to come and bring the blessing and live in the lowest position today, when in fact he wants you to be growing? He wants you to be living well and doing good now. Because after all, if Jesus wants us to preach his gospel and get others to believe, it'd be rather selfish of you to not really activate anything, because you wouldn't be having any power or ability or anything to help get other people to be saved. Hence, the love exchange is, oh yes, God wants others to be blessed, so I better receive blessing for me so that the conduit of blessing can flow to them as well. Because if you're really not thinking that way, you're actually sort of in deception, really, and that's not good at all. Let's look in the book of Titus for our final and concluding passage. Titus. Now, the book of Titus is after the two books of Timothy. And in Titus chapter 2, and I'm going to read actually verse 13 and 14. Titus 2, 13 and 14 says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ." Okay, that's what we're looking to. But what did Jesus do? It says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity." So when are you going to be able to resist temptations and stop living a curse-filled, sin-connected life? Jesus has redeemed us, past tense, from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. When is the purification being manifest? Well, now in this time. There's a progressive work, if you are pure, there's a progressive work also of ensuring that there's a cleansing happening in your life. And it says, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. When do we do these works? When should we be zealous about doing good works? Well, it's not waiting, I'll wait for Jesus to come and then we'll activate and do works. That's too late. Like, it's pretty easy to do good works when Jesus is here and, you know, he's the king on the earth. Oh, well, we can do any good work now. That's not really any test of anything to do with God's salvation. That's like a cop-out. No, the test of God's salvation is, could God's salvation work and things happen, good works manifest? Could you do good things when Satan was all around and you had like this power of light to push against this darkness, and good things were done because things got right in your life, things snapped into place, things were corrected, the crooked was made plain, and the effect was outward. So people also in darkness could see great light. Well, that great light is not God sending angels somewhere or some independent thing like, oh, God will put a light in the sky and people will see that, of all which God can do. But what's the real important thing? What are you doing? Are you zealous of good works? I mean, it's all well and good if an angel went and did something or a light appeared in the sky. But what about if you did things? Isn't that much more beneficial for people? Especially beneficial because you get to be a participant. As the Bible said, it is more blessed to give than receive. So isn't it much better to be doing something now, walking in your redemption, than to wait and just receive, oh well, one day he'll come and it will fix up and that will be great. No, today is the day. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, even now that we can walk and do receive from you goodness from you, goodness to do. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.